We're here on the National Catholic Radiothon and delighted to go to our next guest. And Russ, I'm hoping I'm getting your name right, Briault. Is that correct?
You nailed it.
All right. Russ Briault has been researching and lecturing on the Shroud of Turin for over 25 years. His highly acclaimed presentation known as Shroud Encounter makes use of over 150 superb images. It unfolds like a CSI investigation. I'm sure it's fantastic. I would love to see it. The audience, it says here, is intrigued as each clue is revealed and becomes another piece of a grand puzzle as the mystery of the Shroud is explored. Russ, thanks for joining us here at the National Catholic Radiothon.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Tom and Elena.
Very exciting. As we research the Shroud of Turin, it seems like there's new evidence coming up, seems like all the time, for its truthfulness.
Well, it's always being researched. It is the most analyzed artifact in the world, and yet it remains one of the greatest unsolved mysteries of all time. Could this thing be the actual burial shroud of Jesus, or is it nothing more than just a medieval hoax? And so, you know, the debate rages, but I will have to say that I think the preponderance of evidence would indicate that the shroud is authentic.
And Russ, Elena Rodriguez here. I'm delighted and honored to be speaking with you. I'm fascinated by all the scientific evidence on the Shroud of Turin. In my early TV broadcast days, I had the opportunity to do a documentary on how the Shroud coincides with a Eucharistic miracle, in particular the miracle of Lanciano in Italy, and down to the very blood type. So I'd like to bring your expertise to the table right now and talk to us a little bit about how what you can find on the Shroud coincides with Eucharistic miracles and how that points to the miracle of the Eucharist, and which is the source and summit of our faith.
Well, certainly the Shroud as a linen cloth, it bears the body and blood of Jesus. I mean, that right there is Eucharistic, and it's no coincidence that ever since the third century, the church has required that the altar be covered with a cloth that kind of measures the same as the shroud. So this goes back a long time, and it's and certainly, you know, when you look at the blood analysis, it is, as you said, it is AB positive blood. It's human DNA. It is in fact blood from actual wounds. I mean, here's the alternative: if it's not authentic, then what is it? Well, it must be the work of an artist. Well, if that's the case, then how did he do it? And so, well, what we have found on here is that, no, this is not painted blood, nor is it paint. It's blood from actual wounds. It is the exudate of wounds is what we see. We do not see whole blood. We see blood components. We see bile, bilirubin, hemoglobin, serum albumin. And so the blood chemists that have worked on the shroud will tell you that this is the blood of a man who died upright as the result of crucifixion, because not only do we see blood, but we actually see the evidence of gravity on these on these wounds. And so the man was upright when these wounds were inflicted, for the most part. But then we have the image, this inexplicable image one of the most important attributes of the image is that it's so superficial, it penetrates the depth of the linen to the depth of a single bacterium. In other words, if you were to take a razor blade and shave the surface of the cloth, the image would disappear. It does not penetrate through the cloth as the blood stains do. And, you know, the shroud was in a fire in 1532. Mm-hmm. You got eight big gaping holes from this fire, and then it was doused with water, and there's water stains on there. Well, all that stuff goes all the way through the cloth, but not the image. The image is purely superficial, and this is one of the most profound attributes of the shroud image.
And also, Russ, explain to us the imprint of the image.
Well, wait a minute. Before you do that, we have a local cutaway here for some of our radio stations who will be leaving us to do their own local fundraising. Russ, can you stay with us for just a few more minutes?
Sure.
We really appreciate it. We're speaking here with Russ Briault, who Shroud Encounter. And if you'd like to check him out online, his website is shroudUniversity.com. That is an academic site for students who want to pursue their own independent research. Elena, you may want to go check that out yourself.
I'm going to.
All right, very good. As we continue our conversations, I want to remind you to support your local Catholic radio station by calling 866-972-3469, 866-9-RADIO-9.
Here we are, some of our radio stations, affiliate radio stations, joining us at this hour for the National Radiothon. Your chance to contribute to keep Catholic radio on the air. It's today. It's right now. So the number to call is 866-9-RADIO-9. That is 866-972-3469. And we are having a delightful scientific talk with Russ Briault. And he's an expert on the Shroud of Turin and has been researching and lecturing on the Shroud of Turin for more than 25 years. So he is a walking encyclopedia on the Shroud of Turin and everything that the Shroud exposes to us. And Russ, we want to bring you back on the air to ask you, you were speaking to us about the imprint of the image on the Shroud. And how is that explainable by science up to this point? Because science is limited, but not God. And what is the relationship with, you know, across the years with the research on the Shroud, the invention of photography by Secondo Pia, the opportunity to take a picture of the Shroud, and what came out, what really shocked the world when the first photo was taken of the Shroud?
Well, you're absolutely right. The beginning of the scientific investigation really began in 1898 when it was photographed for the very first time. And then that's when they discovered, or Secondo Pia discovered on his negative plate, that the image that appears in his photo negative for some reason is a positive image. And so this really puzzled a lot of people. And then this was confirmed in 1933 when it was photographed again. And then from that point on, photographs of the Shroud circulated the world. And then that really garnered a lot more scientific investigation, especially from medical doctors that were looking at the Shroud from the standpoint of a kind of a forensic approach. Could this be the image of a real human being who died from these wounds? And several pathologists and coroners have weighed in and said, yeah, as far as they can say, this is the image of a real man who died from these wounds. And the blood chemists have weighed in and said, this is not just blood, but it's blood from actual wounds. And not painted on blood. Because you always have to remember the converse here. Because if it's not authentic, then it must be the work of an artist. And if that's the case, who is it? How did he do it? Mm-hmm. And this alleged artist must have predated Leonardo by at least 100 years. And so, you know, we're all incredible genius artists, but I don't think we're going to find him.
Well, no, absolutely. And I know from my own untrained eye, at the shrine where Mother Angelica is in Hanceville, Alabama, they have a replica of the Shroud. I know that Elena has seen it as well.
Oh, yes.
And even to my untrained eye, it is so obvious what I'm looking at.
Right. Well, the fabulous thing about the Shroud is that it's not just an image, but it is also an image with a very clear pattern of bloodstains that correlates perfectly with the Passion of Christ. I mean, you have the crown of thorns with a singular mockery for the man who claimed to be king of the Jews. You have the wound in the side because he was already dead when Joseph of Arimathea requested to have him removed from the cross for burial. You have the scourging all over the back, over 120 scourge marks from the base of the neck all the way down to the ankles. I mean, so everything about this, about the Passion of Christ, is 100% represented on the Shroud. There is no variance between either the New Testament account or even some of the messianic prophecies that you'll find in the Old Testament, such as in Isaiah. All these things line up with what we see on the Shroud.
We're talking here about the Shroud of Turin with Russ Briault, who is an expert on this, on the National Catholic Radiothon. Again, where else are you going to hear about the Shroud of Turin except on an outlet like your local Catholic radio station. To support the fine work that your local station does, please give them a call at 866-972-3469 and support your local Catholic radio station, 866-9-RADIO-9. And Russ, I want to ask you about your own work. You tour around, you tour with Turin all around the United States with the Shroud Encounter. Tell us a little about your work bringing the Shroud to individual audiences.
Well, I mean, I'm incorporated as the Shroud of Turin Education Project, and this is my mission, is to literally bring the knowledge of the Shroud to the next generation. And I do this through websites such as Shroud University, which you mentioned, and also Shroud Encounter, which is the which is more of a website about me and what I do.
Uh-huh.
And again, I will take an audience to 90 minutes, and we'll all these about 150, 180 or so big screen images. We're going to talk about what is the Shroud, where has it been, what's the history, what's the science, and most importantly, who is the man, and could it be Jesus? Now, I'll tell you straight up, I mean, this is something that we can't prove scientifically because we don't have the DNA of Jesus to match it up with something we might extract from the Shroud.
Right.
So the Shroud is never going to replace faith, but it certainly points the way. And I really, really appreciate the official position of the Catholic Church. Now, several Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI have both described the Shroud as a relic, so we know what that means. But as far as an official statement, the Church will say that the Shroud is a symbol of Christ's suffering worthy of veneration. And I think that's fantastic, because to call it a symbol cuts right through this debate of whether it is or whether it isn't. Well, you know, relic or icon, either one, it sure is a symbol of our faith. And as a symbol of faith, there's no reason why we can't study the Shroud to get an idea of, you know, not only the price that was paid for our redemption, but also the future hope of glory for all of us, because that's what the Shroud represents, not only a past event, but a future event as well. And the future event is coming, and that's exciting, because Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. So whatever happened to Jesus in the tomb is what's going to happen to us at some point in the future.
We're speaking here with Russ Brialt, an expert on the Shroud of Turin, and you were putting it as a perspective, faith perspective for us. It is a relic. And that is not—it is not our sole reason for faith. Of course, we believe in the Eucharist, and that's what we believe as Catholics. But certainly, our Lord allows all this scientific research to point us in the right direction as yet another epiphany of faith. And Russ, I want to ask you at this point: there was, when the news first broke out that the Shroud of Turin was a deception from the Middle Ages, because they had taken a little portion of the cloth and done the carbon-14 testing on it, and then everybody was like, "Oh, well, then it's not authentic." And that was, I think, in the 90s.
It was 1988.
In 1988. Okay. And do you think that the fact that they took that little portion of cloth from it was actually from the Middle Ages, where it had been repaired. Do you think that was, what's your take on it? Do you think that was on purpose, or just trying to be careful not to harm the Shroud?
No, it wasn't on purpose. It was just bad science. They were supposed to take three different samples from three different locations on the cloth. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. They took one sample from the outside corner edge and cut that one sample into three little postage stamp size samples. Now, you know, as I ask my audiences, you know, how many of you know that cutting one sample into three sections is not the same as taking three different samples?
Uh-huh.
When the time came to cut the samples, there was sure that they were going to mar or impact the appearance of this cloth, and so they didn't follow the protocol, and as a result, even cutting one sample might not have been so bad had they chose a different location, because they chose a location that has been handled and held hundreds of times over the centuries.
Sure.
And I've got all these etchings of all these exhibitions, and they are grabbing and holding the shroud exactly at that corner. When they would hold up the shroud for public exhibition. And so if you were looking for the worst possible location to cut, well, that's where you'd cut. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And so chemically, we do feel that this is probably, we have is published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal in 2005, that we appear to we have all the ingredients of some kind of a medieval repair, because chemically, that corner is not consistent with the entire cloth. And so bad data, or should I say bad sample equals bad data.
Well, sure.
So as far as the dating of the cloth is concerned, we have no idea. I mean, I'd like to say, of course, I want to believe it's first century. Can I prove that? No, I can't, because the only definitive proof would be carbon dating, but they totally botched the protocol.
Yeah. Well, Russ Briault, it is a real pleasure to find out about your particular organization there, the Shroud Encounter. I want to let people know that they can go to shroudencounter.com. And also, if you want that higher level of education, go to shrouduniversity.com.
Oh, yes.
And we will certainly be looking for you. Hopefully, you'll be coming here to the Birmingham area. I would love to see what you have to present there.
I would love to come. Someone needs to invite me.
There you go. Hey, Russ, thank you so much for joining us today on the Radiothon.
All right, thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.